In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the Church offers to our consideration during this week of Sexagesima the history of Noah, the deluge, that is, the great flood which nearly wiped out all of human life on this planet thousands of years ago. Why did it happen? Why would God send a flood to kill almost everyone? Because sin and wickedness had abounded since the fall of our first parents. After the eating of the forbidden fruit, mankind descended fairly rapidly to a state of utter depravity and sin. God repented of even having created us poor, miserable creatures. The human race had been warned by God over and over again of the danger of continuing to live in sin, but had not profited by these warnings. God thus elected to punish mankind with a terrible chastisement. And there was found, however, out of the whole human race, one just man, Noah. And it was with Noah whom God made a covenant, and through him, with us. Before the flood came over the earth, God had determined that it would not utterly and totally destroy the human race, but purify it. His covenant with Noah indeed carried the penalty of death for many sinners, but this was not an act of wanton cruelty on the part of God. This chastisement served as the lesson for succeeding generations that God is indeed the sovereign master and universe, the sovereign master of this earth and of this universe, and it exists only by his permission. We are alive because of the goodness of God, not by our own merits or powers. There is a somewhat common idea, however, of the great flood as having been sent rather immediately, rather abruptly by God, perhaps a period of several weeks or months wherein Noah would have had the time to construct the ark and board his family members and the animals. Perhaps it's imagined that during this time, everyone else, like lemmings rushing heedlessly towards the cliff, carried on in ignorance of their coming fate without proper warning, doomed to disaster. But as so often happens, we lack an appreciation of God's generosity. We see that in the book of Genesis, that Noah first received divine warning of this impending destruction 120 years before it occurred, and therefore when he was 480 years old. By the time of God's announcement of the coming flood and its arrival, between the time of God's announcement and the coming and the arrival of the flood, there passed a period of roughly 75 years. During this time, the message of the future punishment was spread as far and wide as possible. In his second epistle, St. Peter tells us that Noah announced the impending judgment and had exhorted all those with whom he came into contact to repentance. And what was the reaction of his hearers? Indifference and lack of amendment of life. This is confirmed by what the apostle St. Matthew and St. Luke the Evangelist have to say. When God's punishing hand finally touched the earth in the form of the massive rains and the enveloping waters, no one except Noah's family and a certain number of animals found refuge in the ark. All the rest had ignored the call to repentance, and they ultimately perished. After the waters of the flood had resided and peace and tranquility were restored to the earth, a great reward indeed awaited Noah and his three sons. God allowed the entire earth to be filled with peoples and nations again through Noah's sons and their families. As is so often the case, God's punishment was the instrument he used to prepare the way for his mercy. Finding ourselves, therefore, at the outset of the Lenten season, which is coming fast, may we above all remember that the virtue of penance, that by which we repent of our sins, is given to us to prepare the way for God's mercy. like the contemporaries of Noah, we continue in our sinful ways at the greatest peril to our souls. No one knows the day nor the hour of their demise, or whether or not they will die in a state of friendship with God. Unlike them, however, we still have an opportunity to recognize our weakness and ask God for the grace of true conversion of heart. It is no coincidence that St. Paul underlines his own infirmity three times in today's epistle, saying, "If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things that concern my infirmity." As it was the case for St. Paul, even this great saint, having received a sting of the flesh and an angel of Satan to try him, the power of God is made perfect in infirmity, our infirmity. We would do well, however, to commend our infirmity to God more vigorously than in the past, by means of deciding now upon our Lenten resolutions, writing them down, keeping them continually before our eyes, doing violence to our weak nature, and above all, ardently imploring God's grace in keeping these resolutions. Many of us, up until this point, have known a level of peace and security in life, enviable throughout much of the rest of the world. This may not last. We have the witness of history. God has punished mankind in the days of Noah and since, in the calamities that have struck nations and continents at various times and brought about the swift deaths of large numbers of people, many of them innocent. What did Our Lady say to Sister Agnes in her apparition at Akita, Japan, as recently as 1973? She warned us in these stark terms, "If men do not repent and better themselves, the Father will inflict a terrible punishment on all humanity. It will be a punishment greater than the deluge, such as one will have never been seen before. Fire will fall out of the sky and wipe out a great part of humanity, the good as well as the bad, sparing neither priests nor faithful. The survivors will find themselves so desolate that they will envy the dead. The only arms which will remain for you will be the rosary and the sign left by my son. Each day, recite the prayers of the rosary. With the rosary, pray for the Pope, the bishops, and priests. The work of the devil will infiltrate into the church in such a way that one will see cardinals opposing cardinals, bishops against bishops. The priests who venerate me will be scorned and opposed by their confreres. Churches and altars sacked, the church will be full of those who accept compromises, and the demon will press many priests and consecrated souls to leave the service of the Lord." This past Thursday, the U.S. Air Force fired a Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile, unarmed this time, into the Pacific Ocean as a demonstration of our nation's readiness for a nuclear war. We're all aware, moreover, that this is not the only unusual aerial phenomenon of late. And I do not claim to know what, if anything, this portends for our nation's future, but I do know that God will not remain silent forever in the face of sin. Sin is an abomination before him, and there will come a point when his wrath will tolerate it no longer. We would be well advised, therefore, to put the house of our soul in order sooner rather than later. Our eternal happiness may depend upon it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.